escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yo!
Yo!
How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
Good. How was your wife's birthday?
It was good.
What'd you guys do?
What did we do? We opened presents. She opened presents. Mm-hmm. And we
did
had...
Did she get everything she wanted?
Cake. Yeah, she was very excited about the stuff that she got. So.
What'd you get her?
She's really into nail polish, so I got her this thing that I'd heard her talk about a while ago. It was like, you know, some sort of... special edition kit that was going to sell out in minutes, which it did. I set an alarm that morning to wake up. Okay. I did a good job. Like, set an alarm, woke up, bought that thing, and it was sold out in seconds. So she wasn't expecting that. And yeah, I got her a framed, like a vintage framed picture. It's like an old cocaine advertisement.
Hmm.
That you see them a lot of times, like on eBay or garage sales. Like, you know the ones I'm talking about. This one says like, have a snoot, relieves fatigue. You know, that sort of thing. She thought that was funny.
You guys put that in your living room.
Well, we haven't decided where we're going to hang it yet.
Oh, you're looking for the right spot.
It would look good everywhere. No,
right,
you know, it's like,
right,
well, that would look good.
But somewhere close to take off the wall to cut lines on.
It would look so good. No. This thing's, we don't want to break this thing. It's cool. And actually what it was a friend of ours got it. That's who came here yesterday. He delivered it to me because he found it.
Mm-hmm.
So got that. And then I got her fake Rolex.
Oh, nice.
Which I'd been holding on to for a while. And yeah, I think that was it. And then we ate cheesecake because that's what she always wants is cheesecake. And
good. That
was it. Went to bed.
Did you guys have sex?
No, we were going to. And then by the time we got done with everything, I could tell I was like...
Too much cheesecake?
No, I don't think so. I think she's just worried about what time it was.
No.
Because she's got to wake up early. So she was like, well, let's do it tomorrow. I was like, okay, that's fine.
Yeah. It's a weird thing anyway.
What?
In any relationship I've ever been, like, you know... Valentine's Day, anniversaries, birthdays. There's like some sort of odd pressure to have sex. So it's not spontaneous at all. But you're also like, am I supposed? I feel weird doing it. Like, it's an odd thing. I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't
There's
like
no
it.
Like I'm not like, man, I'm way into this. It's like, oh, man, well, you know, it's your birthday. So we should do this. And then it also makes you feel like, It's like, having sex with me is your birthday present? That's like, right, I can't imagine that's what you are asking
That's
for.
Why I certainly didn't hurt my feelings if I say, we don't have to do this tonight.
Right. So it's like, you know, and then also, like, the other way, if it's your birthday and they're like, oh, well, I'll have sex. Like, well, don't bestow your...
I know you hate
grand
that.
Vagina yeah. on me because I aged a year. Yeah. Like, it just feels weird. I'm not saying you shouldn't do it. I'm just saying it's always kind of weird.
Yeah, I agree. It felt more like this was just sort of the 2 days happened to coincide. It was about time, you know, for us to have sex. We've been together a long time. So we're in that part of our relationship where it's like, it's probably about time that we should have sex, right? And you both kind of know, like, yeah, we're probably about there. And so it felt like that's what happened with this, was like, it's probably time. And I guess it's her birthday. So, you know, she probably did cross her mind.
But by she was like, I'm out.
Yeah, by the time we got done with everything, it was like 10 o'clock. And I know she's normally in bed before that. So I was like, you want to wait? She's like, yeah, is that okay? I'm sorry. I'm like, totally fine. I'm a tantric guy anyway.
Yeah.
You know, the anticipation.
Were you masturbated on her for her birthday?
No, I didn't, actually. Mm. I'm saving it. I didn't want to do that because I felt like that she would think, oh, well, now you're not going to want to have sex. So I did mess this up. And yeah, so I didn't. I watched TV and fell asleep.
I would have done that.
I know you would.
I mean, even on her birthday, I was like, that's fine.
There was a time when I would have done that. I have done that. And I'm just saying, that's why I have a suspicion I know how that plays out, which is, wait a second, thought we were waiting. So now what? Are you going to
No, you're
sex?
Waiting.
Right. It's like, I'm not waiting.
I'll be ready to go. Don't you worry about me.
I'm done. Well, yeah, see, that's where we're different too, though, because the next day I might be like, well, I just basically had sex. Yeah. I know you weren't awake.
With you.
Well, you weren't awake. So,
right. And it had been a while. To be honest with you, it's the next day. I don't find you that hot.
Church of
Laszlo.
Yo! Well, the talk of the town today, Laszlo, the talk of the internet, the Hooters girl. You like Hooters girls?
I love them.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, fan.
Me too. Big fan. Like them a lot.
I also like their wings.
I know. You're a big fan of their food. You're like the guy who reads Playboy for the articles.
Well, I mean, it's nice that they have both.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I was stuck one time. We did some sort of like Christmas thing out at Legends, and my nephew was with me, and it was gonna take forever for a Uber to get there, and there's Hooters right there.
Can you guys went in?
No, we didn't. That's the thing. I thought about it, and I kept thinking about it. I was like, can I take him in there? I don't know. I'm pretty sure Laszlo said he takes his boys in there. When I was a kid, my mom said absolutely not. I know that my best friend, he would joke around and ask his mom and dad, hey, come on, let's go to Hooters. And they're like, shut up. As if, like, I thought, honestly, at that point, like, are they naked in there? I mean, it says Hooters on the thing.
Right.
Are they taking their tops off? Do you have to be an adult? Are kids even allowed? So I didn't go into one until I was 18, something like 16.
I don't think I've ever taken my kids in there.
Oh, you haven't? I thought you had.
They like Buffalo Wild Wings.
Okay. Well, I know some people
I did take them into Twin Peaks.
That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah. Well, I told them it was just a regular restaurant. I'm like, I don't know. It's a mountain themed. And they were like...
Mountain themed?
Right. You know, they got a mountain out front.
How old were they?
They were kids. Little kids.
Oh, okay. So they were so little that they really didn't pick up on the fact
I think
that
my oldest one was like, I think it's like Hooters.
Okay.
And I was like, yeah, well, shut it.
Okay. Well, I want to tell you the story about a Hooters girl and a nerdy cop because it's all over the internet today. This, you know, when you think Hooters, I usually think Florida. If I just see a story that says Hooters, I go, probably, it could be anywhere, but I start with Florida, and this one was at Florida. This waitress tried to flirt her way out of a cop. You know, it said in here somewhere in Florida that they were, and I don't remember. I'll tell you here in a second when I get down there, but because I think it was Sarasota, but I could be making that up. But where's their headquarters? Is it Sarasota? Am I making that up?
Because for some reason, I was thinking Sarasota. Fort Lauderdale?
Those sound like they could be right, too. Anyhow, this Hooters waitress is trying to flirt her way out of a DUI arrest. And she starts to kind of berate this cop as he rebuffs her advances. I'm going to play audio from this body cam. And, I mean, if you're trying to paint a picture, if you're listening, she's, I don't know, it looks like she's got dark hair with maybe some pink, some shiny red or pink in it.
She's, I'm looking at her Instagram.
Yeah, her Instagram's out there. Snowcone sent a screenshot of her Instagram to me this morning so I could get a better look at her. I mean, she's got a Hooters shirt on underneath her sweatshirt, which she shows
you. She's hot, but I do like, before I even listen to it, I do love the last thing she put on Instagram that I see.
Mm-hmm.
It says, you know, Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourself. Romans 12:10. So that's what she posted on Instagram, and this is what she said to a cop.
Gonna make out here.
No, we are not. Here,
turn off
lights. Stop right there.
Turn off the lights. We're gonna make out.
Wait. Stay right there.
Oh, that's okay. My bad. That's my bad.
All right.
I gotta pee, bro.
I know. I
gotta
have to pee as well.
Bro. I gotta pee.
She's gotta pee. That's what she's saying. I gotta pee,
okay,
bro.
Okay, do you wanna try this first exercise for me?
I will do anything for you, Daddy.
That escalated quickly. I'll do anything for you, Daddy. Now, in that moment, I don't care how old you are as a male, straight male, cop, standing there. That's it. Once she says, I'll do anything for you, Daddy, that's it. It's over for us. Like, yeah. If you or I were cops, that's the moment. Even if we were like, I promise to honor this badge. I told my kids made me swear that I would honor this badge and do no wrong and do the right things. And I said I'd do it for them. Because for whatever reason, it means a lot to them, and I don't know why, but I made that promise, and so now I'm going to do it.
Also, why is what I would do wrong?
Well, I don't know, because it's against the rules, I think.
Well, what rules?
The cops' rules.
Rule, they have rules, schmules.
Well,
they
have rights, that's
but
the
they have the leeway to let somebody go, write them with a warning. Happens all the time.
Well, that's true, but...
For less.
I'm saying that we would want to do more.
It's I know
more
what
than
I'm saying. Like, I don't understand what you would do that's wrong here for letting her go.
Well, if you let her go, I don't know if that's against the rules, unless I would assume that the problem would be if something actually happened, some sort of physical interaction happened. If he took her up on one of these offers, once she says, I'll do anything for you, Daddy, though, I'm done. I'm done.
God damn.
All right.
You in that suit? I'll do anything for you.
Can you put your feet together?
That's where I start, too.
Right, just put your feet together.
I'll put my feet together.
And your hands on your side.
Your hands on your back. I'm still with him at this point. We're good. I might need you to bend over the hood of the car.
Okay. Now, before
we
start...
I'll put my hand on my hip.
No, let's grab my flashlight.
Oh, whatever you want, Daddy.
Okay.
Man, she's still going.
Before we start.
Before we start. Hey, finish art.
Are you wearing contacts right now?
No,
I'm wearing glasses.
No, are you wearing what?
Contacts. Contacts. Oh. Wait, you see this? I am wearing contacts.
Sophia.
You see this?
Can you put your shirt on?
I am wearing contacts.
I
am wearing contacts. I swear to God I'm wearing contacts.
Hold on. I want you to think for like 2 seconds.
I am wearing contacts.
Sophia.
You might have glasses, but I am wearing contacts.
Hey, Sophia.
I swear to God, I'm wearing contacts.
Like 2 seconds.
Why are you such a nerd, bro?
In all seriousness.
Go. Don't be such a fucking nerd, bro.
So now, that's why I called him a nerdy cop. She called him a nerd first.
Yeah.
But, bro, don't be such an effing nerd, she says. Yeah. And she keeps mocking him. But, Snowcone had a theory about this whole thing. He thinks that maybe something went down between these two. Now, you know, I don't know. I wasn't there. Every story that I see is basically just a recap of this video, whether New York Post or whatever. I haven't seen any in-depth reporting. Maybe they've done an interview with this girl somewhere. If they have, I didn't see it. I saw that there was a local news article on her.
Asking how hot she is. She's real hot.
Yeah.
Yep. Real hot.
Yep. Real hot.
Yep. She's, would you say she looks like she's brunette and then she's got some sort of like pink hair there? Whatever,
she's as hot as any girl you've ever seen.
She's hot. She's very, very hot. She could be in movies.
Yeah. She's as hot as any girl you've ever seen. Like, you're like, oh, look, that girl's way
hot. And she's wearing a sweatshirt that says Hooters, but she lifts that sweatshirt up.
When she says, I'm wearing contacts.
Right. And that's when she lifts the sweatshirt up and shows him the Hooters tank top and her cleavage. And that's when she talks about, I'm wearing contacts.
My theory was not that they hooked up. It's when she says, I really have to pee. If you listen to him, he says, well, I do too.
I think it's him planting the
seed that my body came about to be turned off.
Are you positive that he says that, though? Because
let me hear it again.
All right.
What do you say, Daddy?
Okay. Now, that's
afterwards.
That's my bad.
All right.
I gotta pee, bro.
I know. I have to pee as well.
Oh, he does say, I have to pee as well. Okay.
He's like, hey, bro.
We've all got our issues.
We all got our thing. I got to pee, too. We got to get through this. Hold your pee.
So you're
don't think that's, hey, I got to pee, too. I'm going to turn off this camera. And
if you need
I'm just thinking he's planting the seed if he wanted to later on.
Then he says, like, hold on, I got to use the restroom. I do have to pee, actually. And then he turns off his body cam. And then when it turns back on, she's like,
I didn't get that vibe from what he was saying. I got that vibe, like, yeah, I have to pee, too.
I don't know what
like
you
when
you're
with the
body
kid.
Cams.
Because, like, I got to pull over, I got to pee. Like, yeah, I got to pee, too. Hold
yeah,
on.
We all do. Yeah, that sort on. Of a thing yeah. that a parent would say. But I just think about when kids decide that they want to be cops. They see cops on TV or whatever. There's a lot of different reasons that they might want to be cops. But the body cam, while it's an important thing and it's good for the public, man, it does suck for the cop. It really does. I mean, just think about any job. It would suck if you had a camera strapped to your chest recording every single thing you say and do the whole time you're at work.
Especially during these situations.
Right, because, I mean, this is really, really not helping me at all to have this body cam on right now. Because without the body cam, this ends differently. Maybe not with every cop, but with a lot of cops.
Well, my question would be, well, yeah, no, because you can't trust her. So then when it's over, she's like, I'm going to see you had sex with me. And, like, oh. And then they're like, check the body cam. Because yeah. I don't think if you came in after your shift, you know, you didn't arrest anybody, nothing happened, they wouldn't be like, let's check your body cam footage. I think
that's
only
kind of what I thought.
But I feel like if you had sex with her, then she could be like, I'm going to sue the... I was drunk. You took advantage of me. I don't know. There was some power imbalance or whatever chicks are calling it these days. I don't know.
I guess
whatever nonsense you're talking about.
That's definitely a possibility. But think about it. If you were drunk and got pulled over by the cops and the next day you thought, wait a second, I'm hungover. I was so drunk last night. Did I get a DUI? How am I not in jail? And then you remember like, oh, yeah, I made it out with that chick cop that pulled me over or did whatever with her and I got out of it. And I don't know about women, but I would think that it's like I can bring attention to this and sue and remind people that I was driving really drunk last night, or I can be like, oh, that actually worked. I got out of it. I would think that most of the time, if you're the one offering, it's not like the cop is putting pressure on her. It's not like he's like, maybe we can work
no,
something
I'm
out.
I'm with you, but I feel like she would get home and be like, oh, look, I can make a lot of money from the city.
Maybe.
Like, you can sue the cop for having sex with you.
Yeah, I'm sure you could. And then also, you know, you got to go back and find out that she was drunk. But I guess, I don't know if you can even press charges at that point.
No,
you can't prove
because
she's
you
drunk.
Can't prove it, right.
There's no breathalyzer. So she's probably safe at
and
that
probably
point.
And probably she, at that point, goes and gets a lawyer. And it's like,
yeah,
hey,
the lawyer would
I,
let her know
I
that she's
sex
safe.
With this cop.
Oh, but that's too much thinking ahead in that moment. Once she says,
well,
daddy,
yeah, for me and you,
it's over.
As soon as she says, I'll do anything you want, daddy, I'm like, yeah.
And then
me
she
too.
Goes, God damn
I may even
uniform.
Just throw off my camera and be like, I quit.
Exactly. In that moment, it's like, I don't
only
like
this
job.
Everyone hates me anyway.
Yes.
The only time I get to, I pull over a hot chick, she's going to offer me, so like, whatever, I'll go be a teacher. Like, I don't need this.
Right.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
Yo. So Los Angeles is on fire. And there have been, at this point, I guess, this article's from 8 minutes ago. Over 1,000 structures that have completely burned to the ground. They said there's 28,000 structures which are being threatened. The fire, I don't know if they're saying that this area is already on fire or not, but they said they're dealing with several fires at once. There's three of them that are burning at the same time, all in the metro. But this thing says from Pacific Coast inland to Pasadena, home of the famed Rose Parade. So I don't know, like... Some of the stuff I saw this morning, they were showing there was a museum that I recognized. I don't know anything about art, so you know I don't know the name of it.
Sure.
They might see this clip, and I was like, oh, I know that place. And it looked like it was either on fire or about to catch on fire. And like I say, this thing saying there's 1,000 structures that have already completely burnt down, 28,000 structures, they're at risk right now. And I saw over 70,000 people had been evacuated earlier this morning. It's bad.
This morning, the firestorm officials had feared becoming a reality with a third out-of-control wildfire exploding overnight in the Los Angeles area.
At the end of the day, I mean, who's ready for something like this?
Overnight, flames reaching the iconic Malibu neighborhood and its beachfront homes. In the coastal neighborhood Pacific Palisades, multiple homes completely engulfed in flames, with desperate residents rushing to get out. Planes flying above the area, capturing the massive reach of the inferno. The fire jumping Pacific Coast Highway, burning all the way to the ocean, even threatening the famed Getty Villa Art Museum. And two more fires igniting overnight, spreading to Pasadena.
It's like a bad, bad, horrific dream.
The Palisades fire igniting mid-morning Tuesday, with the area's hilly, winding roads quickly clogging with cars.
The homeowners are saying they're unable to access any exit routes. There's fire on both sides of the road.
It's so crazy to see fire from...
Where are they leaving from? Like the people who are trapped. Did you say?
I don't know. I don't know that they said specifically.
Like, are they trying to get out of Malibu?
But,
like
that Palisades, the one that she mentioned, all the way down to the beach. You know, you see those all those lifeguard stands on fire. It's just crazy. Like that, it makes it down that far. I don't know anything about fire, but it does look bad. Really, really, really bad. I saw someone. They said so. I assume that this person is a notable person. I'm just not familiar. Maybe it's a. Actor something, Kamala Harris, that their house was in the zone. They had to be evacuated. Yeah, and that it could catch fire. I don't know if it has or not, but they said nobody was home, so. That name sounds familiar to me.
I remember.
Yeah, I'm not. Sunkan's usually the celebrity guy, so, but I don't, he's not helping
me out
on this
one. I think it's Oprah's best friend.
That's, her name's Flower. Rose. Her name's Rose.
Rose?
Yeah, right? Isn't her name Rose? Glenn. Glenn Ross.
Glenn Ross?
Glenn Ross. Gail. Her name's Gail.
Glenn, Gary, Gail Ross?
Yeah, that's right. Isn't that Oprah's friend? There you go. So who's this other person? Yeah, it's somebody. I saw Steve Guttenberg. A lot of people have seen him now because he appeared on social media and his video's gone viral. He's saying he's standing outside of, you know, that main strip in Beverly Hills there. I guess that's where he lives. I mean, I'm sure he probably still has lots of money. And he's telling everybody, hey, you know what? This is a time that we need to learn the importance of community and that we all need to work together. And I'm just like, wow, you know, Steve Guttenberg. And I asked Brooke, I said, do you know who he is? And she said, no.
Have you ever gone and, like, I took the boys on vacation, you know, Dodgers game, Angels game, stayed in Malibu and then Santa Monica and did, you know, the whole thing. Like, drive through it, drive from the pier into Hollywood, go to the Hollywood sign, go to Universal. We did the whole thing. If those houses in that Bel Air, Beverly Hills, like, you know, towards Santa Monica, as you're taking whatever road that is, you know, they did a movie about it or whatever. But as you're going through that road, if those houses burn down, then insurance companies can't afford that.
Well, and insurance companies already say they can't afford
that. They can't. Like, I mean, like if it burned down, like, you know, I don't know, Independence. And I don't mean this in a bad way, but whatever it is, a suburb of Wayne County in Detroit or whatever, if it burned down that,
people live.
Yeah, I think, like, you know, the insurance companies be like, all right, we don't want to do it.
Yeah.
And we're going to try to get out of it. Trust us. But they probably got the cash to do it.
Yeah.
There's no way you could pay for all these houses from the hills all the way to Santa Monica. Just no way.
Every shop on Rodeo.
And I don't even know what the Palisades look like, but it sounds nice.
Right. Well, it,
you
like
know what
the,
I mean?
The
but just even if it burned down houses in Malibu, you can't afford to pay. You can't buy them back.
Yeah.
You can't. Like, I don't know how much they cost, but it's a lot.
And not to mention the stuff that they would say they had inside that house.
Right.
I think of all those shops on Rodeo, and they say, here, we had, you know, $100 million worth of merchandise in this store that was only 1,000 square feet. I mean, you're right. The insurance companies already say they can't insure people. Most insurance companies got out of doing homeowners insurance. Mine just dropped me again. I'm going through the process of trying to get homeowners insurance now, and they come out now, which they never used to. They come out now and take pictures of everything before they'll approve it. It's like this whole process. It used to just be you found one that was what you thought was a good deal, and you signed the paperwork, and they said, okay, you got a deal, and now it's part of your mortgage or whatever. It's gotten harder, and for people who live in, like, multi-purpose living, like condominiums, they're having a terrible time. Some of those people can only get one company to quote them, and there's no competition at all. And in Florida, you see on the news constantly these people in Florida who say, I can't get insurance. And I just saw a story again yesterday about how young people are fleeing the state of Florida for several reasons, but one of the big reasons is they can't afford insurance to get their own place there. They can't insure a home because the insurance for their home, it's like the place that Brooke's family has in Florida, right? I think, like, oh, well, this is great, and he paid X amount of dollars for it, and he paid for it, whatever. Here's how much it would cost, though, if you were to take it over and just have to pay the insurance on it. And you go, oh, my God, that's just the insurance on this? And that's what it's at now. What would it be when we're older? Like, if we actually did live here, we can't. Even if you pay for this thing and it's totally paid for, we still couldn't afford to live here because we couldn't afford the insurance. Like, that's crazy. Right. That's really crazy. And it's a huge problem. It hasn't hit us as bad. We have all probably, if you've owned a home, experienced a company saying, yeah, we're not doing homeowners insurance anymore. You go, oh, okay. Companies that have done it for years, for like 100 years, and like, yeah, we're out of it. So you go find somebody else, and you find somebody else. But I feel like we still have multiple companies that will potentially insure your home here. But if you live in one of these areas, if there's fires, if there's hurricanes, I don't know what they do to fix that, but they got to do something. The government's going to have to get involved.
I don't know. Well, then I would assume it's just a bad business plan then. Like your business is insurance.
Yeah.
And you're saying you can't afford to do insurance, then...
Well, you risk...
So I guess you just insure things that aren't worth as much as you're taking in?
You're in the business of risk and risk assessment. And you go, is this risk worth us taking?
Right.
And that's what insurance is. You go, yeah, okay, this is worth the risk. But they've decided Florida and probably a lot of parts of California and different areas, like, yeah, I'm not worth the risk. We're out of there. So then what? The government, I feel like, has to do something eventually. There's going to have to be some sort of some sort of government insurance that you, when they say,
homes?
Hey, sorry, yeah, if no one else can get you homeowner's insurance where you live, then you're going to have to get this.
I think they do have state-sponsored insurance.
There is some. Yeah.
I think there is.
And I think they're going to need more of it.
I think it might be in Florida, too.
There should be in Florida, for sure. You'd think there'd have to be if you got all these companies saying, we're not doing anything in Florida anymore at all. But, yeah, it sounds like they need more of it. I guess it would be just like Medicaid or Medicare,
sure,
but for your homeowner's insurance. But the thought of, I'm with you as a kid or anytime I saw on the news that there was a fire, it's crazy. And if you watch those videos of people driving through it where it really does look like images of hell from Hollywood, you go, that's crazy. But to really just think, my whole neighborhood, I could get an alert and they're like, you need to leave now. And then everything is burned to the ground. And your whole, not just all the houses, but all the businesses around you, it's all just gone. It's crazy to think about, you know?
Yeah.
It's scary. I don't know what you do in that situation. Now I got to get a hotel.
The problems are different for us, though.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have a house in Malibu, you're okay. As long as you don't die in
hopefully
it.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you get out, you're like, well, I mean, you know, didn't burn down the bank.
Yeah.
So I can buy a house. So believe me, I'm Steve Guttenberg.
Right. Those people are probably
okay. I got plenty of money. I'm not worried about it. If you're living in Beverly Hills or whatever,
I guess I was thinking more of those people in that Hulu documentary. I don't know how rich or poor they were or whatever, but they seemed more like more regular people.
Right. I mean, that would be terrible.
And I just thought, God.
Well, I mean, if I was Steve Guttenberg, I'll get through it.
Well, yeah,
he's Guttenberg.
He doesn't seem that stressed in the video.
No, why would he?
He's like, hey, guys.
Hey, they're going to burn down the house? Like, yeah, and he's like, hey, how much money do I have in the bank? And I'm like, $732 million. He's like, oh, good.
I wonder how much.
We'll burn it all down.
How much he has. I asked Brooke if she knew who he was, and she goes, no. I said, does it sound familiar? And she goes, no. I said, does he look familiar? She's like, no. And I really wasn't surprised by that. Because, I mean, I was pretty young when he made those last movies, like Three Men and a Baby, Three Men and a Little Lady, whatever. That was kind of the last stuff of his that I recall being in movie theaters, and then he just sort of disappeared. I don't. Did people just
million,
not like
they
him?
Say.
$12 million.
Steve Guttenberg, American Grand, is total net worth of $12 million.
That's enough. I mean, depending on where you live, I don't know how close he lived to where he was standing in this video, but it looked like that same area where the Menendez brothers lived, which they're from Beverly Hills, right? Weren't they in Beverly Hills Snowcomb? Yeah. So bad fire in Southern California. That's the biggest story of the day. But there is other stuff to talk about, and we will discuss it in just a minute.
The Church of Laszlo.
Hi.
Hi. We're finishing up the news here.
You got anything about Joy Taylor in there?
I don't. There's no updates on Joy Taylor, although yesterday it did look like she was dressed modestly once again. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you were in here when we saw her in some sort of post show, something or other. They were live somewhere. Snowcone, where was Joy Taylor yesterday when we were watching that? They weren't in the studio. They were out somewhere.
Yeah.
And once again, now I don't remember what she wore before, but ever since that tweet that you mentioned yesterday, I can't help but think, well, maybe she is dressing modestly. I don't know.
I say it's 2 days in a row. On a video, it was just, I mean, it's everywhere now.
Yeah.
This story and about Joy Taylor. If you want to look it up, I don't know all the details, but Fox Sports.
A hairdresser at Fox Sports filing a lawsuit.
And all the details came out. And it's like, I don't know, Skip Bayless tried to pay a hairdresser $1.5 million to have sex with him. But then Stephen F. Austin is a university.
I don't know that.
Stephen
okay.
A. Smith, he talked about it on his show yesterday on ESPN.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's like, he's like, I worked with Skip for all those years. We started the sports debate thing. He's like, you know, I'm not saying he didn't do it, right? You know, I haven't talked to him in a long time. He's like, but, man, Skip was the cheapest dude I ever, ever hung out with. He's like, I just don't see him throwing around that number.
It seemed like a big number.
Right. But sex is, you know, different.
Horny
but
wins.
I just thought, like, he's like, well, I know, would Skip do that? It wasn't like, hey, Skip is the best guy I know, and he wouldn't put it. He was like, Skip's cheap as hell, man. I do not know that Skip would throw out that $1.5 million number.
Yeah.
I thought that was funny. And then they had, I sent Snow Cone a video. Yesterday they were doing the show. And now Emmanuel Acho,
I still don't really know
in
that
this, he, in these court papers, they said that he slept with Joy Taylor. And yesterday he was talking about somebody, Tyreek Hill or something, and he's like, you know, you just need someone to take the top off. And Shay Shay, they got a picture of him, he's like, looking over off camera, but yeah, they got the camera on too. He's looking over at Joy Taylor like, I'm like, oh no, man. Like, it's, man, I don't know what she did wrong. I really, I'm not sure she did anything wrong. I mean, she just slept.
Based
with,
on
according
what I read,
to this, if everything in the, and it's true, and I have no idea if it's true or not.
If any of it's true, if some of it's
and
true.
And the problem with these, when these lawsuits come out, is that all of the people that are being accused of stuff, they work for a major corporation with giant attorneys. And believe me, I have been through this.
Yep.
Where people are accusing you of things, and you're like, yo, I want to defend myself. That isn't true. And they're like, yeah, no, be quiet. Our lawyers are on it. You're just not allowed. So Joy Taylor really can't come out and be like, this is bull crap, because they're telling her right now, don't say anything. So you can't defend yourself, and you don't get the full story. And the one who can say everything is the hairdresser who is unemployed, because she, I mean, like, there's no recourse against her if she talks, right? And her yeah. lawyer's like, tell the story, tell everybody. I mean, it's just a different vibe, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know that it's all true, but still, I was kind of like, what did Joy Taylor do?
Do wrong, if that's all true.
And slept with Emmanuel Acho and had an affair? Like, if everything's true, then okay.
Where's the illegality
it's
in that?
It's her body. She can yeah. share it with whoever she wants, whenever she wants, for whatever goddamn reason she wants.
Yep. As long as apparently she doesn't charge anybody money for it, then unless they're filming it and they're going to release it, then that's legal. But
oh yeah, well, I don't think that was in any other.
No, it's not. I'm just saying you know, her body, her choice.
Yeah,
that's the only exception I can think of with the sex thing. But you wonder, like, the sports stations, would they mention it on any of those shows within the network? I would guess not.
Not on theirs,
but on ESPN.
On ESPN,
yeah, I would
expect
them to.
Our boy Whitlock, he talked about it.
Okay, that doesn't surprise me at all.
Because he worked at FS1, and he said when he was there, there's videos out of him talking about it. He said when he was there, whenever he went, he's like, those makeup rooms are trouble. He's like, whenever I went in, I'm paraphrasing him, and I feel comfortable doing it because we know him a little bit. I don't think he'd get pissed.
No.
It basically, like, I went in those things. I was like, man, he's like, I would tell myself, Jason, get in, get out. This is nothing but trouble in here. He's like, and then I hung out. He's like, I saw Joy Taylor, and I was like, man. With that huge rack and that peanut butter skin, I thought, boy, Jason, you're going to get yourself in a lot of trouble.
He said that?
He's like, I would not talk to her.
Wow.
He's like, she was too hot for me to be talking to. I'm like, all
right. It did always seem odd seeing her at that desk. I was like, man, I'll bet she just gets a lot of comments at work. Yeah. She might like it, she might not. But either way, I'll bet that that studio, all eyes are on her a lot of times. More
well,
often
now,
than not.
Marcellus Wiley, he used to work at FS1. And he was a football player for a long time. He came out and said, well, you know, I didn't know any of this, but it all makes sense now, because he's a guy who got fired when they moved her to his show. And he's like, oh, I get it. So everybody got moved around and I got moved out because of this. And I thought, okay, well, now if any of this is true, you've opened yourself up to something from Marcellus Wiley, and he's not hiding from it.
Yeah, but would that be illegal? I mean, you know, promoting someone within work.
Termination.
Yeah, I guess for him. I'm saying, is it illegal to promote someone in an office setting because you're having a relationship with them?
No, I wouldn't think so. But I would think if you have to terminate someone because of that. So in most corporate settings, you can probably just make them like Clinton tried. Yeah. Like, I'm going to go get you a job at the head of Maybelline or whatever it was. Like, really, it was a cosmetic company or something, right? That something like, hey, you're going to be the CEO of marketing at, you know, L'Oreal or something. Mm-hmm. Like, he had a buddy who would take care of it. And most companies, you can do that.
Yeah.
Right? Well, I'll just make a job, go to that office, I'll pay you. Like, I don't want to get...
But, it's an expensive affair,
but in FS1 or ESPN or here or anywhere... there's really not those jobs. Like, if you want to be on TV, there's only so many hours of the day to be on TV. Yeah. So if you're going to promote someone to that spot, then someone's got to go. There's nothing else there.
Yeah. Well, speaking of lawsuits involving allegations of sexual misconduct, Sam Altman, the founder and CEO of ChatGPT, some people would call it OpenAI, I guess is the name of the company, and a lot of people say the father of modern AI, because we really were introduced to AI.
The daddy?
Most of us. Yeah, the daddy. Exactly. Through ChatGPT, and ChatGPT and OpenAI are the biggest in the space.
Can you ask ChatGPT about him?
Well, that's a good question. Get on there right now and ask him. Sam Altman. See what it says.
What do you know about Sam Altman?
But he was served with a lawsuit this week out of Missouri, my home state there, from his sister. His sister is alleging that he sexually abused her beginning when she was...
What? His sister?
Yeah. She's alleging... She's made these allegations in the past, but she's making them now again in this lawsuit. She says that the abuse started when she was three, that the abuse happened from 1997 to 2006. So it started when she was three, and then she says by the time it was over, she was legally... let me make sure I get this right. From the suit was filed... she alleges the abuse took place in Missouri from 97 to 2006. Ann Altman, that's her name, says the alleged conduct began when her brother was 12 years old and he inappropriately touched her. She says he later sexually abused and raped her, and says the abuse continued while her brother was a legal adult. So she's saying that it started when he was a kid, but he was a legal adult at some point when he was still abusing her.
The sister, who's identified as Anne, has publicly come out with similar claims of sexual abuse at the hands of her brother, OpenAI CEO Sam Altman, in the past. But this is the first time she's taking him to court. And the lawsuit alleges that this abuse spanned 8 years, and it started in 1997 when Sam Altman was 12 years old and Anne was just 3 years old. This morning, Sam Altman and his family are publicly denying these claims. They add they've been trying to help the sister financially and medically, and claim that she's demanded more money over the years.
So the old, she just wants money again. We've tried to help her in the past.
So what are the allegations in Sam Altman? Did what?
So she says that he inappropriately touched her.
Starts, when she was how old?
Started when she was three, and okay. He was 12. Continued until he was a legal adult. So started in 97, continued through 2006.
Okay.
And that she says that he inappropriately touched her, and then she also says that he eventually raped her. I'll read this quote here. It says, at all times relevant herein, defendant Sam Altman groomed and manipulated plaintiff Ann Altman into believing the aforementioned sexual acts were her idea, despite the fact that she was under the age of 5 years old when the sexual abuse began, and defendant was nearly a teenager. The foregoing level of childhood sexual abuse continued for a period of approximately 8 or 9 years, end quote.
Wow.
So that's part of what the lawsuit alleges there. The Missouri childhood sexual abuse statute allows plaintiffs to file suit against their alleged abusers within a decade of turning 21. Ann Altman is 30, so she's just in there, with about a year to go. I thought that they got rid of those statutes of limitations on... I know they did it in New York, but I thought that was kind of a thing that
happened.
So
she's suing him, like, pressing charges or just suing him civilly?
Well, she's asking for punitive damages. It says that the abuse caused PTSD, severe emotional distress, mental anguish, depression, forced her to incur numerous health costs, including mental health care costs. The suit claims the younger Altman is seeking a sum in excess of $75,000 for punitive damages and the cost of the suit on top of it. And then responding to the suit, Sam puts out that letter that they were just saying there, talking about how, along with his brothers and his parents, that they say that, you know, we're all in agreement that she faces mental health challenges, and they've been supportive of her in the past, personally and financially, and they acknowledge that this lawsuit is not the first time that this has apparently come up. I've never heard of this before, but there you go. And that's what I was saying earlier. If you're writing Blade Runner in 1979 or 1980 or whatever, and you've got this villain creator of AI, you know, this is the bad guy, and he create, you know, that just seems like another villain thing for a villain to do, because all these people who are anti-AI all right. Think of like Skynet and Blade Runner and these ideas that AI is obviously going to take over. Why are we even allowing it? Why'd we turn it on? Unplug it. And now when you have a story like this, I just wonder if that affects, but if this were to go to a jury, would jurors be like, man, this guy's AI is going to take my job? He's obviously evil. I've seen the movies. I know what happens. We're going to end up, the computers are going to end up nuking one another. There's going to be a nuclear winter because of this guy. He probably did rape his sister. Like, does that affect it? I don't know. I don't know. And I mentioned earlier that I had an update for you on Luigi. That was a bit of a fib because really the update on Luigi is that we're going to have to wait a little bit longer to get an update on Luigi. They've issued some new delays in his case, so we'll have to wait.
This morning, new delays in the case against Luigi Mangione, the man accused of gunning down UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson. According to new court documents, federal prosecutors and the defense agreed to delay Mangione's next court appearance by nearly a month to permit both parties adequate preparation for pretrial proceedings and the trial itself, pushing the deadline from January 18th to February 17th to bring a federal indictment against Mangione.
There you go. Hey, Snowcone, when's your boy Idaho Slasher? When's his trial start?
We'll come like July or August.
Getting closer.
I know.
You're getting closer.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
Yo. Okay, so you got to beat up a celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
And if you beat them up, you get to keep their money. You take their money. But our caveat is it has to be a fair fight, meaning it's got to be when you say, hey, Laszlo versus this person.
Mm-hmm.
Netflix would have to say, yeah. Or Vegas, I guess, would have to say, yeah, we'd get enough bets, I guess, on both sides. That might be interesting. It's got to be interesting. Can't just pick on someone who's small or...
My first thought's Larry David. He's got a ton of money. Probably take him, right?
Larry David, you could take. Me, I think, I don't know that they would say it's a fair fight, you and him. I'm not positive. He's very lanky. I don't know how old he is.
He's
for
like
me,
80.
So that's why we had the caveat of it's got to be fair.
Well, it's got to be interesting. At least,
for me, versus Elliot Page doesn't work. So I looked up net worth like $18 million.
Really?
Yeah, I kicked that dude's ass.
Wow.
I think that Clint Eastwood would be a good one because
he's 1,000.
He's 94. He's worth $375 million. I looked it up. He is 94 years old, but I do think there'd be a lot of people that go, look at Slim. Clint Eastwood is like, you know, he's a cowboy, a legend. And I think a lot of people would put money on Clint Eastwood, honestly. I haven't seen him lately. They say that this juror number, whatever movie might be his last movie, just because he's getting up there in age. I saw him in The Mule, and he looked pretty old. But I think there could be some people. He might be too old. But that's why I also thought Morgan Freeman, because I think a lot of people would put money on Morgan Freeman over me. He's worth $250 million. The problem is he's pretty tall. He's 6'2", so I'm actually not all that confident. He's 87 years old, but he's a young-looking 87. We've all seen Morgan Freeman somewhat recently. If I were to fight Morgan Freeman, who would you guys put money on?
You. Dude, look at Clint Eastwood.
I know Clint Eastwood's old.
Woman helping him walk.
I know, he's very...
Nobody's
very
putting any money on Clint
Eastwood. Okay, so what about Morgan Freeman? What about
Morgan Freeman? No one's putting any money on Morgan Freeman either.
You don't think that... I thought you would actually put money on Morgan Freeman over me.
No.
He's good-looking 87.
Make it fair.
He's I'm trying to. I'm keeping it close. I thought Robert Duvall because he's a tough guy, but he's 94 as well. Okay, so moving on.
You can't fight dudes who are 100.
I thought you guys would say those.
My God.
I thought you guys would say that some of those guys could kick your ass. I really did.
No.
Especially the Morgan Freeman one. All right, so what about this? Zach Hansen from the pop group Hansen.
Mm.
He's 5'10". I looked up his height. He's worth $20 million.
That's the drummer. Right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
$5
million? He's worth $20
million. $20 million.
He's 5'10". He's 37 years old, I think. Now, a lot of people would put money on him. My fear is actually that he's too fair of an opponent. I'm afraid he would kick my ass.
Right?
I'm going to beat Bruno Mars. No, but at least the reward is $175 million. And I like my chances a lot better than some of the other quote-unquote fair fights you guys might mention.
Someone said Slim versus Peter Dinklage.
See, of course, I love it. I take it any day.
Well, yeah, precedent.
I love that fight. Love it. The confidence is already there. I know I can do it. Doesn't mean I will, but I know I'm capable of doing it.
He was on Thrones. He got a ton of money.
I don't know that I'm capable of beating up Bruno Mars. I don't at all. But, I like those odds a lot better than... If we're trying to make this a quote-unquote fair fight, or keeping it interesting at least, well, as I started going through all these male celebrities and I'm looking at people that, they're all going to beat me up. Now, Snowcone, you and Laszlo, the two of you are better fighters, you're bigger, you fought more, all those things. You guys, I feel like there's a lot more people out there for you two to fight.
Yeah, I'm DeJuan Laszlo for sure. I haven't been in that many fights.
But you've been like a bouncer at a bar and... Yeah.
Like, I was trying to think of people to buy tickets to. You know what I mean? Like, so I looked up Ronda Rousey. Like, I'd fight Ronda Rousey.
I wonder if
she's only worth $14 million. Yeah. Like, and I'm saying she could, there's a chance she could kick my ass. So why risk it for $14 million?
Well, that's why I thought you might say.
She's not going to kick my ass, but.
I thought you might say Serena Williams.
But there's a chance she gets me in one of those stupid little, you know.
Thigh locks?
Yeah, whatever.
That's the thing with the Hanson brother. Even if I did, it's $5 million or whatever it was.
The Hanson's $20 million.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. That one was a
I feel
lot.
Like you can get, there's someone out there with 100.
It's Kieran Culkin that it's only, you know, $5-10 million. Macaulay Culkin was closer to $20 million. I thought Laszlo might say Serena Williams because she's got to be worth, I don't even know,
that was
hundreds
my thought,
of millions.
Because I feel like she could.
And I'm pretty sure I've heard him say in the past that he could beat her up. And I think
he
a lot of
no, I could beat up Serena Williams.
And I think
I
a lot of
people. You guys just say that's a fair fight.
I think a lot of
if
people.
I can fight. How much is she worth?
We're keeping it interesting.
She's got hundreds.
I got to think hundreds.
All right. Well, if you got fine. Then I thought you guys would be like no.
I think a lot of people would put money on.
What
her.
About Tiger Woods for swim?
How tall is Tiger Woods?
Would beat your ass.
He's got that bad back. How bad is
bad
the back?
News, but still, he works out all the time. Dude's jacked.
Serena Williams, $300 million. So, better payday than Ronda Rousey. Plus, Serena Williams isn't a cage fighter.
Right, she's not going to put me in some sort of leg lock.
Right.
Well, yeah, I mean, if that's what you guys want.
But she's
I just thought you might say
endurance.
It. I think it's interesting. I mean, she's a hell of an athlete. She's young. She's, I'm sure, in great shape. So, I think people would think that
I'd knock
you're keeping it interesting.
Head off. Her head off.
I mean, Ronda Rousey, I think, would beat you up.
Literally off.
I got to say. If you were fighting Ronda Rousey, I'd put my money on Ronda Rousey.
The problem with Ronda Rousey, she was worth more money. I'd fight her. The problem is, like I said, she's a trained fighter.
They protect that arm.
So, like, you know, I'd feel like if I hit her, she would feel it. But she also may take the arm with her and spin it around some crazy thing. And, like, you know, that's not fair.
She gets a hold of your arm.
And right. And starts bending it. And,
she knows
know.
What to do. She's in great right. shape. She's young. I'm sure. I think you got a much better chance against Serena, not to mention she's worth
it. All right, that's it. So, I'll fight Jay-Z for $2.5 billion. Straight up, me and Jay-Z.
That would be interesting.
I think that's a fair fight. He's
yeah,
taller
that's a fair
than
fight.
Me.
Yeah. Kanye would be a fair fight, too. I think he'd kick his ass.
I think I got a better chance maybe of fighting Kanye, but...
Yeah, they might not be as interesting.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, Jay-Z's also been in a lot of fights.
Yeah.
I think he knows little... what he's doing, you know. When I look at him, he's a guy that I think, you know, hasn't had to do it in a while, but can handle himself.
Well, he's from Bed-Stuy.
He can handle himself.
That doesn't go away.
Yeah.
What about Puff Daddy? You like those odds better?
I mean, I just
Kanye,
thought
I think, is
the
easiest. Kanye, I would put my money on
you. Who would be the most fair? I thought me versus Jay-Z would probably be.
Because Kanye,
in my head, it's worth a lot of money. People would want to see it. You know, Jay-Z is a tough guy. You know?
Right. I think Kanye is much more
I'll tell you an old guy you can
side.
Fight, and I would put money on him.
Okay.
De Niro.
Yeah, see, I thought
I
want to
see you fight De Niro. De Niro's different than Clint Eastwood. Clint Eastwood literally, I just saw a picture of him, had his pants pulled up to his breasts.
He's been doing that for years.
And an 80-year-old woman was walking him.
Like fighting Jimmy Carter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's why I was like, you know what? He's not doing so good, so I said Morgan Freeman. But De Niro?
I think De Niro might whoop your ass.
Okay.
Twitch says Denzel.
Here's the thing, though. I don't want Denzel. Who's fighting Denzel?
I mean,
not me. That's a waste of time. I'm just going to get beat up.
I think Denzel's
going to
beat your ass.
Denzel beat the crap out of me.
De Niro's good. De Niro's good.
De Niro is better, but I still don't really want to fight him. I'd rather fight the Hanson kid, I think, or Bruno Mars. I'd rather fight Bruno Mars than Robert De Niro.
Yeah, for the money.
I've seen those videos of Robert De Niro talking about, like, when he gets political and he's all angry. I want to punch this guy in the mouth. And he seems like he's got some anger in there. I haven't seen that side of Bruno Mars. I'm sure it's...
And
everybody
again,
probably has it.
I fight everybody on that TV screen right now.
On First Things
First
with Nick
Wright?
Money.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'll fight Nick Wright, that old-ass coach, Kevin Wilds, and Brew. And the only thing I'm going to do is, because the person that may be able to do it, I'm going to attack Brew first.
I was
going to
say, Brew's
I'm
the
gonna
one.
I'm
going
to kill Brew. I have to kill him
shape.
And just let the other guys slap me or whatever while I'm fighting Brew.
They each run to a different corner.
Yeah. Right. I'm not worried about any of them hurting me. So I'm going to have to break Brew's neck first. And it may that may be a fight, but you know what? He was on TV. He was on the screen. So I'd much rather trade him out for Danny Parkins if I could. Because
yeah,
I think Brew's real
good.
Sure. I think Brew's real religious, though, so I don't know.
Well, what does that have to do with it? Like, that makes you feel better about it?
Makes me feel better about it only in the sense that I do think he's in pretty good shape. And he looks like he'd be a tough guy. But I think he's real religious, which maybe he's never been in a fight before. Like, okay, maybe he's just a real nice religious guy. That's not a bad thing. Just like, you know, nobody dislikes him. He's a nice guy, you know?
Maybe.
Like, the difference between, you know, they're probably almost the same build or close to of him and Jay-Z, but Jay-Z scares you a little bit more in a ring. Like, you know, I don't think he's real religious, and I don't think he's that nice of a guy, and I think he's probably kicked some people's asses before.
But just keep in mind, a lot
Brew
of the guys
doesn't look like that.
A lot of the religious guys, especially guys I went to school with who were religious, it was because their dads weren't around, and they had troubled childhoods, and it was, you know, this Jesus group that brought them, and it got them on the straight and narrow because they were getting into fights. I don't know Brew's story, but
me neither. I'm just saying, I think maybe you got a chance.
I know he's the one. He's the one that you got to
worry about. Yeah. I mean, the coach.
Mangini, you got.
Nick Wright,
you got. Wilds, I don't know much about him, but you got him.
I'm not worried about him.
We all got him.
I'm not worried about. I'll take on all four of those guys in the ring at once, and I get all their money. But the thing is, I don't know how much they're worth as compared to Jay-Z. So you might as well just fight Jay-Z.
Exactly.
Just fight Jay-Z for $2.5 billion.
Well, will you guys let me fight Bruno Mars? Is that fair enough?
Yeah, I don't know that much about Bruno Mars.
Okay,
so.
Well, yeah. $300 million.
I just think background again. I think he was grew up pretty poor.
Okay.
Yeah, he might be pretty tough.
Yeah.
I'm being honest.
For
like,
sure.
He might have.
Yeah.
The same reason Jay-Z grows up in Mars.
I'm going to have to train.
Same thing, like, you know, I look at it like, you know, Bad Bunny. I think he'd kick your ass. He's a little dude, but I think Bad Bunny would kick your ass.
Exactly.
You agree with that?
I do agree with that.
It does take some getting used to.
The Church of Laszlo.
Okay, everybody just calm down.
On 98.9 The Rock.
So, Sunko, and I know I asked this yesterday. I'll ask every day. How long until the inauguration? You said it's the
21st. I'll check right now.
So, I mean, we're like 12, 13 days away, something like that, right? It's close. It's really close.
It is the 20th.
The 20th, okay. So, we're like 12 days away. But I don't know what today is, actually.
Yes,
yeah, today's the
8th. Yep.
So, Trump got reelected, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's been a lot of talk about what his second term will look like.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there's been talk about Greenland again.
It'll be beautiful, most beautiful second term that
exactly
beautiful's ever seen.
It has a beautiful sound to it, second term. The Greenland thing came up again in the news, which I thought was great. But did you guys see any of the press conference? It's a press conference from yesterday from Mar-a-Lago. I saw someone called it, one of the outlets called it like a stream of consciousness press conference. But, you know, he's upset about the like the Panama Canal and lots of different things around the world. It feels like America just needs to, we've been treated unfairly. We need to step up and say, hey, we make the rules. This is how it is. America first type stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And did you hear what he said? One of the first things he's going to do, changing the name of? It was so great. You know, I'll just play a clip.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Changing the name of the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America, which has a beautiful ring that covers a lot of territory. The Gulf of America, what a beautiful name. And it's appropriate.
Okay, so I have a question. Because in the articles that I read, they said there's no clear explanation for how a presidential administration on its own would be able to officially change the name of things like this. And I thought, well, isn't it just the same as like how Laszlo says, if you don't like the clock change, then just change your watch to be different from everyone else's. So right now, you think like, oh, the sun's getting ready to go down. Well, then make your watch 8 o'clock.
Well, I don't know how we could do it.
So just start calling it Gulf of America.
Any map that you had, if you just told them, hey, it's the Gulf of America.
That's it.
And then got them changed. Because that's the only way it's going to change. On globes, right?
Yeah.
And on maps, if it gets changed there, then it's changed.
Just
I don't know.
Just get people
like I said,
with
I don't know how he does it.
Yeah, I don't know how you officially change those things, but if in America they start calling it the Gulf of America,
and everyone
calls it that long enough, then you could even get to a point where you say, you know, in the United States it's referred to as the Gulf of America. There's lots of things like that where there's different names for different things. So you just say, yeah, here it's called the Gulf of America.
I think you just have to change the signs and the maps and, you know, have Google change it. Like, you'd have to, or else people would be like, oh, enough people be like, oh, Trump calls it the Gulf of America, but it's the Gulf of Mexico.
Right.
But if he got it changed everywhere, over the amount of time, eventually it would just be the Gulf of America.
Yeah. It's just something we all agree on.
Right. We just all have to agree on it. That's exactly what I was thinking. I don't know why there has to be some official process for it. Just if we all start calling it Gulf of America, eventually the map makers, like you say, Lazo, they start putting Gulf of America on there.
They do that.
Maybe it's parenthetical
signs,
at first.
1,500 miles to the Gulf of America, like, you know, road signs, and, you know, there you go.
All we got to do is just do it. That's it. If he's in and he says, this is what we're doing, then that's what we do. So it's the Gulf of America. If he says Canada is going to become a 51st state, that might be a little bit different because I think you have to maybe have some sort of a war. I'm not really sure how that would work. Or at least get them to agree. Like, yeah, we do want to be the 51st state.
Yeah.
I saw that some Canadian lawmaker offered to let three American states join Canada and get free health care and expand Canada. I don't remember. Did you see that one, Snowcone? She's some sort of elected official. I just remember it said that she'd suggested it was in the Northwest, like Washington and Oregon and Idaho, something like that. We'll take these three, maybe Montana. I don't know. We'll take these three states. We'll make them part of Canada. They can get Canadian health care. And that's our counteroffer to your making Canada the 51st state. And I thought, I don't think how many people are going to go for that?
None.
I mean, maybe some in Portland. I really don't know.
None.
But even if you're one of these people that you are so angry about the results of the election, you're a very, very liberal person, you want socialized medicine, all those things, when they come to you and say, do you just want to then officially make your home part of Canada? We'll just start calling it Canada. You'll be in Canada. I think a lot of those people are probably going to say,
but if they make it a little bit more feasible.
Mm-hmm.
If the Canadian government said, hey, all you got to do is sign this paperwork and you'll be a Canadian citizen. Wherever you live, but you're now a Canadian citizen and, you know, hey, if you get fired, you'll use our unemployment.
That's it.
That would then the question is, how many people would renounce their U.S. citizenship, be able to stay where they are, and become Canadians? Because that would be...
You're not getting dual citizenship. You're renouncing your U.S. citizenship.
And, you know, hey, if they deport you, then they deport you. We're not saying you got to come here.
Yeah.
But right now, you're a Canadian citizen, and, you know, that's it.
Yeah.
And if Trump starts sending everybody to Canada, then, you know, we'll have a place for you here, but good.
Some people would go for it.
A lot of people, I think.
But,
But would you?
No. Would you? You lived up there. You guys lived north of Canada. So, you know, you're close. You're around those people. They're very friendly. That part is true.
I have no problem living in Canada.
It seems very nice.
It's nice.
But, you know.
People think of it as like this remote moose town. There's big major cities. Like Toronto is a big...
Toronto's massive, massive, massive.
Big, big... Quebec, Montreal, they're big...
Yeah,
Edmonton.
Vancouver.
They're big, major cities that you could...
They just got a lot of space. But the people are nice.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with Canada. I just don't personally want to be Canadian. I don't know. You? I mean, you can't get into Canada, so it might be nice in that regard, since they won't let you in anymore.
Well, I mean, my fear would be what everybody else's fear is, that if then I get kicked out of here, I don't have a job in Canada, which sucks. So, you know, that's the problem.
I'm trying to find
work. But if they said, you know, hey, and we'll get you a comparable job, then, yeah, all right, good, let's go.
So you, then yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were a patriot. I didn't know. I mean, you know, veteran, all those things. I figured you'd say, no, I don't want to be Canadian. I got no problem with Canada.
I don't.
Seems fine, but.
I mean, I don't.
Seems like a lot of Canadians, when they, you know, get rich and famous, they want to come down here.
Hoorah, jingoistic.
No, I know. Right. But even that being the case, you still look at a lot of these rich Canadians, and most of them end up coming down here and living in the United States. They work to get some sort of citizenship. They moved to L.A.
True?
I'm saying, like, the celebrities and all that, they all come down here.
They come for Hollywood.
Yeah, but you don't... Do you have to be there full-time? You could go home and say, I come down here to work, and then I go back home when I'm not working. And some of them maybe do have homes there, but a lot of them are just here. A lot of them just become American citizens, too. They go beyond just the green card that the studio would give them, and they become citizens. I don't know. Look, I've only ever been American, so... It's hard to say. I don't have a lot of perspective. But if you just say, would you rather be Canadian or keep being American? I'll keep being American. There may be a time in the future where I change my mind. And if you say, do you like the idea of Greenland becoming part of America? Well, yeah, of course. Why not? Sure. I don't have a problem with that.
I don't know how any of it works. Something about the Dutch, and I was trying to understand it, and it seems very complicated. And I saw they have their own, you know, government there, and they're like, hey, you know, quit trying to barter us. We're not, you know, some piece of property that you can. It's like, well, but I think you are, because it seems like maybe the Dutch sort of. I don't fully understand it, but it's a real possibility that Greenland could become part of America.
Louisiana Purchase or something like that.
Or Hawaii becoming a state.
Or buying Alaska.
Exactly.
I guess. I don't know.
So why not?
We've bought stuff before.
Exactly.
I mean, that seems way more feasible than the Canadian thing.
Becoming states? Yeah. She's obviously trying to, you know, poke back or whatever. But my thing
is... making them a state.
Yeah.
I feel like we could buy Greenland. I don't know why we want it.
They make it sound like we could. Natural resources, he says. We need, now that the polar ice is the ice is melting, there's a bunch of natural resources that were hard to access before that you can now get to. And Trump says, we need it, we want it, and it shall be ours. And I'm, you know... Okay. I'm all in, man. Take it. If you say we're going to start calling
plant an American flag here. But if we buy it, I'm okay with that.
Well, however it works. Look, what I'm saying is if the government. Well, no. If you can. But if no one was talking about a war over it.
We just said take it.
Yeah.
Take it from the Dutch.
If the Dutch are like, yeah, we're going to sell it to you. Sorry, no. I meant like
purchasing it. There's a difference between purchasing it and taking it.
Yeah. If it's for sale, we should buy it. Well, that's for sure. If it's for sale, go ahead and buy it.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, and that goes for really any piece of land. If they say it's for sale, we should be buying it. I'm all in.
Yeah, why not?
Well, there's some people who get so upset about this idea of Trump wanting Greenland, and I just think, look, it wasn't that long ago, just because it hasn't happened in your lifetime, that America was expanding, that they got new territories, turned them into states, and if you go back a little further, like you said, Louisiana Purchase and all those things, Alaska. So I don't think it's that crazy that...
And we bought Manhattan.
Right. So why not? I'm all for it. And I'm all for the Gulf of America. I love it. I'm all for changing the names of all these things. It can all be just done overnight, really. As long as the President of the United States is saying, this is what we call it now. I know he's not a king, but... He says that's what we're calling it now? Yeah, Gulf of America.
If he just keeps calling it the Gulf of America?
Will it stick? I think that's the question. And they said, would the Mexican government say, you know what, we've got some areas here that are named after things in the United States, like California and blah, blah, blah. Would they try and change those? But my thought was, I don't think that's going to stop Trump. Like, I don't think it'd be like, no, please.
Like, if they changed what?
Like, they were mentioning things in Mexico that are named after parts of the United States. Right. Like, there's a California something, and they named a few things.
We already have a California.
Exactly. So. Well, that's why they're named after parts of the United States. That's what I'm saying. So, like, would they change those in attribution? I thought, I don't know if you're joking or what, but I don't think he'd care.
I don't even think it's close.
Not even close. Doesn't matter.
Like a city. Like if Mexico City was called America City,
right?
And they're like, we're going to change it to Mexico City. That would be somewhat the same, but it ain't.
It's exactly. Yeah. So Gulf of America. What do you think? I'm in.
I think we could call it Gulf of America, and they could still call it Gulf of Mexico.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
I would imagine. That's
just like countries can have their own name for something, and then outsiders call it something else. I don't think that you need to file official paperwork to make this happen. You just need someone like Trump to say it enough times that everyone else starts saying it, and then, like you said, start putting it on maps. And that's that. I'll go work for him tomorrow if he needs me to help make maps. Were those people called?
Map makers?
Yeah, there's some sort of name for them. But I'll help. I'm all in. Gulf of America. I'll make Greenland red, white, and blue. I don't know why people are so against this stuff.
Well, Greenland seems normal.
That they're against it?
No, that seems fine. Like, I don't really, you know.
And the Gulf of America, it's a name.
The Gulf of America
name change,
is a
right?
cheesy, but whatever.
Well, you're just not used to it yet, right? That's why.
There's really no purpose for it.
Trump says it
like, it doesn't matter. I get it. But there's really no reason for it.
But he says it sounds good, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Makes more sense, he says.
But
so.
Greenland, you know, that makes sense.
Yeah,
Like, you know, now I'm like, okay, let's do it. Let's buy that.
Oil, yeah.
Yeah, but not, you know, Gulf. I don't care about the Gulf.
Greenland's a better get. If you say one or the other, you get to change the name to Gulf of America, or you get Greenland to become America. Yeah, I'll take Greenland.
98.9 The Rock. Your home for the Church of Laszlo. The Church of Laszlo.
So JetBlue's been in the news... like every day this week. I think it started with on Monday. They were talking about how JetBlue got fined by the government. This is the first time an airline's been fined by the government for chronic delays. I've never flown JetBlue once in my life. I don't travel that much, but I've never been on a JetBlue flight. I know it's like a budget airline, whatever. Oh, really? I remember Midwest used to
nice
do that.
Nice warm cookie.
I remember Midwest, when that existed, used to give you a nice warm cookie. That was their thing. And it had direct flights to Seattle, which was nice when we lived there. But I've never flown JetBlue. But obviously, I know they exist. I know they're a budget airline. And I know they've been in the news. apparently they have a tardiness problem because they were the first airline to be fined for chronic delays. Then the next day they were in the news, which talked about because two dead men were found in the what's it called? The what did we decide that compartment's called where the landing gear goes? I guess just the landing gear compartment. Right. Two dead guys were found when they were... I don't remember where that flight was coming from. I think it was JFK to Fort Lauderdale, and they went out to do an inspection of the plane afterwards, and they found two dead guys up there in the... Maybe, I think it was two. Anyhow, then today they're in the news again because this time, this is a flight in Boston, and it's headed to San Juan, Puerto Rico.
Okay.
They are... So they're at the Boston airport. They are taxiing out to the runway. They're about to take off. And suddenly the emergency door opens and the slide, the emergency slide pops open. And the guy who opened the door jumps off the airplane. He just decided, I can't take this anymore. I'm opening the door. I'm out of here. Now, you think, like, was this some sort of TikTok
thing? Was he scared?
Was he scared? Right, you get super claustrophobic, panic attack, terrorist thing of some sort. No. None of those
things. Some alarming moments last night on board a JetBlue flight out of Boston's Logan Airport. Officials say a passenger opened an emergency exit door while the plane was taxiing just before takeoff. An emergency slide was deployed. Another passenger on the flight said it all happened after the man got into an argument with his girlfriend. He was taken into police custody and is expected to be arraigned later today.
So just imagine you're in Boston, you're going to San Juan, so I assume maybe you're going on vacation.
Sure.
It's January, trying to go somewhere warmer. You're getting ready to head to San Juan for your vacation.
Do they have any quotes from him or anything?
All the news says is that he said that he did it because there was apparently a fight between him and his girlfriend, and that was it. And now there's quotes from other people who were on the flight. One person said that they were sitting right in front of him, and that they could hear them arguing, and like a boyfriend and girlfriend. The person said, I could tell that they were a couple. And he said, I guess the boyfriend wanted to see the girlfriend's phone. She wouldn't let him. Maybe the other way around, not sure, but something to do with the phone.
Okay.
Then the guy gets up, runs down the center aisle, grabs the emergency door while the plane is taxiing, opens the door, and the slide emergency slide pops out. So, you know,
he just jumps out.
Does not say what happened to him when it says he was arrested, but I want more details about, like, did he make it down onto the tarmac? Was he on foot? Did they chase him? Did they grab him before he could make it down the slide? You know what I mean? I don't know. But that's a hell of a fight, and also totally relatable to anyone who's ever been in a relationship.
How long is the flight from Boston to San Juan?
It's got to be a few hours, right?
It's got to be more than that, I would think. I mean, Boston, at least like, three. To San Juan?
Yeah, San Juan's not that far. I mean, it would be like...
But it is from Boston.
Yeah, I don't know. So maybe it's 4 hours. I don't know. It could absolutely be 4 hours. I really don't know. But either way, it's too long if you're fighting before takeoff. I mean, have you been in the car with someone when you get into a huge argument, like on a road trip? Have you been in that scenario before? Because I have. And it's a feeling of someone needs to jump out of this car.
Yeah.
Or really, like, I'll pull the car over, but you're out of town. You don't have an option. And so all those things run through your head. Like, if I pull this car over, can I push her out of the car? No, because that's illegal. I'll look like the bad guy if I leave her here on the side of the road. Can I just give her the keys and I'll walk off? But then it's like, where am I going to go? So you have this feeling of being trapped. But on an airplane, you're genuinely trapped. If you're 30,000 feet in the air, there's nowhere you can go. But in that moment, on the tarmac, you're already fighting. Your vacation's just getting ready to begin. You literally do have the ability to get off this flight, and you know it's going to result in your arrest. The dude knew he was going to get arrested. As soon as he stood up and opened that emergency door, I know it ran through his head. Now, yes, he was angry. You could say he wasn't thinking clearly, but he was aware of the fact that he would get arrested. Anybody knows that you can't do that, and that you're going to get in probably quite a bit of trouble.
You may not know you're going to get arrested. You know you're going to get in trouble.
You're going to get cuffed. You open the door.
Trouble, but you might be like, I don't know. We didn't take off anyway. I'm not going to get that big of trouble. The risk versus reward of me having to sit on the plane with this lady for however long it takes to get to San Juan and then stay in San Juan.
Yeah.
Like, I just want to get off now. I get it.
I don't even know, actually. I assume that I get put in cuffs. But I don't know if I spend the night in jail.
I don't know if I would. I feel like I may get walked to, like, the TSA place and I may get a ticket where I got to show up to court. I don't know that, you know.
It could be. I would think they're going to cuff me probably. I know they take this stuff seriously. They'll probably put me in cuffs. And I even think that there might be some sort of place where they detain people at the airport until the police get there.
Other passengers restrained him.
Oh, they grabbed him before he got off the
flight? Right, before takeoff, a passenger who wanted to deplane opened an aircraft door suddenly without warning. Other passengers restrained the individual until troopers arrived on the scene to detain them for further questioning.
Oh, NBC didn't have that in there. They just had the quote from the people that heard him fighting. They said that he was arrested, but that was that. But that is pretty epic. You opened the emergency door of an airplane, a JetBlue flight. I mean, this is a big airplane. And you just couldn't take it, and you decided whether or not, like you say, maybe he didn't think about the fact that he would be cuffed. Maybe he just thought it could be a ticket. But I think he could have thought.
No, whatever it is, it's not major.
Exactly. But
I did the opposite of try to hijack it.
It's certainly a thing that you don't want to have to deal with, right? Like now I may have to go to court maybe. I don't know all these things. But in that moment, it's worth it.
Yeah.
It's worth it.
And it might be.
Absolutely. Right. That's what I'm saying.
Like, I don't know how much trouble you get in. I don't know that's that much.
It's like the divorce thing that we were talking about the other day. You go, but divorce is going to cost me a fortune and it's all this work.
But it's
worth it. Right. And I think a good analogy for that could be opening the emergency door of a taxiing jet.
Mm-hmm.
And that slide popping out and just going, now I can't fly. Now they're not going to, I'm getting away from her. That's it. And I mentioned earlier, just because I'd read somewhere and it sounded like you guys knew what I was talking about, that supposed fight that Brad Pitt had with Angelina Jolie where they were on an airplane. I don't remember where that came from, but there was something about them fighting. And I just remember thinking I just remember thinking about being in a fight on an airplane, because I've been in those fights in a car, but then you think, but just being in the air, right? Not being able to get away from one another. Yeah. And I just thought that's horrible. It's horrible.
6 hours from here
to San Juan. Interesting. I think when I flew there, I flew to Atlanta first and then flew from Atlanta to, we said San Juan, Puerto Rico, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
How long did it take you?
I guess it took however long you say it took. Didn't seem like it was that long.
Most flights take around 6 hours. Oh, that's including layovers. So 6 hours, 6 minutes is the shortest flight time from Kansas City to San Diego.
Oh, that's including the layovers. Okay. It's because 6 hours seems like a pretty long flight, but it is down there a ways. You're going past Florida a good clip. It's misleading on the map.
2,239 miles.
Yeah, well, I don't know what you call it, a chunk.
How old are you, a good clip?
What do you call it, a good chunk? I'm just talking about a map. When you look at it on the map, there's a good chunk there. What, a few inches? You got a couple more inches to go once you get past the southern tip of Florida. I don't know. It's down there a ways. Would that be better? What's wrong with clip? It's a good clip. It's not like I said click. I said clip. It's a good clip from here. Jesus Christ.
Man, it struck a nerve.
Well, I don't. That sounds like an old person?
Yeah.
It's a good clip. But it's a good distance. It's a couple more inches.
Yeah, we hear you.
Get out the map key. I don't know. Probably a few hundred more miles, maybe 500. I don't know. Anyhow, what is the longest that you'll sit on a flight?
I could do 6 hours, but that's about it.
Because people who go to Hawaii, I always think, man, it's such a long flight.
When you go to like Germany, how long is that?
Well, you almost always fly. I've always flown to either London or France first, and it's like 7 hours.
From London?
I think to France, I think it was like 7 or 8 hours.
Yeah.
And that's from Detroit or New York.
It does, yeah.
Yeah. It's not as long as you would think. It's not like 14 hours or anything like that.
Wow.
No, that's what I always thought too, but it ends up not being that long. It can be, I mean, depending on where you take off, taking off from LA or whatever.
Wherever.
To your next spot, that's just like flying around the United States, right? So,
okay.
A couple hours here, a couple hours there. That's that. But that's why the flight to Hawaii seems like a long one to me. That kind of, just because.
How long's that?
I don't know. I think it's pretty long. You've got a good couple clips there before you're on that island. But Australia is the ultimate one where I go, I don't think I could do it. I'd love to visit Australia, but I'll have to take a boat. I can't be in an airplane
that long.
LAX
to Honolulu is like 6 hours.
Okay, so from L.A. it's 6 hours.
Uh-huh.
Oh, 6 hours over the ocean. Yeah, I guess I could do it. But
yeah,
it's still a long flight. Australia, can't do it. What is Australia, 22 hours or something?
No, not worth it.
It's like a full day, isn't
that's
it?
That's a big clip there.
That's a huge one. I would love to see it, but it's too far.
No.
Do we get the religious tax break for this?
That's a great point.
The Church of Laszlo on 98.9 The Rock.
What would you do if your kid came home with a tattoo?
I guess there's not much I can do once it happened.
Well,
I would not be happy about it.
He's underage, though, so would you?
No, but I can't get it removed.
Right.
Would I sue the tattoo parlor?
Yeah.
No.
No, you wouldn't like go up there and talk to him and be like, what the hell's going on? I mean, if it's different, I think, if he has a fake ID, then they can kind of at least say, hey, he had an ID, we thought he was 18, as opposed to, yeah, we needed the money. Kid came in, said he wanted to look like Post Malone, so put some tattoos on his face. Although I will say, you can get tattoos removed now. Snow Cone got his Disney tattoo, whatever it was, the bull, the John Cena thing. Yeah, you got that removed.
I did.
And I can't, show me where it was. I don't even know which arm it was on. And you didn't even finish getting it removed, right?
No, I had like one session left, maybe one or two. But now it looks like a...
There's nothing there.
It looks like a bruise, or maybe like a big vein.
And maybe that's because you had one or two sessions left?
Yeah, it would have been totally gone.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. How many times did you have to go there?
I think four.
Okay, and they just laser it off, right?
Yep.
And it's gone? And that was a decent size tattoo, and it had a lot of color in it. It was like filled in,
yep.
And you'd had it for a long time. I don't know if that makes a difference or not. Well, I mean, I think you have to be 18 everywhere to get a tattoo. I assume that's the rule, right? 18 sound about right?
Yeah.
I could see some place saying you got to be 21. That wouldn't shock me. But I think it was 18 when I was a kid. A tattoo shop in Arizona just got in trouble because they tattooed a 9-year-old girl. A 9-year-old. Now, here's another weird thing is that in Arizona, and it may not be the only state like this.
Wait, a 9-year-old?
Yeah, 9-year-old.
With parents' permission?
So in these states, they say you can get a tattoo with your parents' permission.
I remember hearing that growing up. Like, kids could do it if
in some
16.
States, yeah. And those might be the states. I don't know if in Missouri and Kansas you can get a tattoo with your parents' permission. That's a weird one. I know there's things you can do with your parents' permission. Getting a tattoo seems weird, but maybe that goes back to some sort of religious thing and some religious... I don't know. But this was a 9-year-old girl, and they're acting like she did not have permission from her parents. She's a 9-year-old girl who went into a tattoo shop and got a tattoo, and these other tattoo artists at the shop are like, man, you're making us look bad. This gives us all a
bad
name.
It is one of the most frustrating things about our career field. If you see a 10-year-old child with a professional-looking tattoo and they said they got it at a tattoo shop, that kind of degrades us as a whole.
I wouldn't let my daughter underage get any tattoo. No way. No, that's crazy.
So I don't know what the rules should be. If they say that you, with the parents' permission, you can get a tattoo, I guess it's up to the tattoo artist. I would think a lot of tattoo artists will say, yeah, I'm not giving a 9-year-old a tattoo, but what do you think the girl got, though? She's 9 years old.
Oof, good question.
Client came in. Now, the artist who did it, because that wasn't the artist talking, that was a different artist. The artist who did it says, look, the parents did give me permission to do this, so it's legal.
Okay.
But there are others who said, but I just can't imagine a 9-year-old walking in on her own. I mean, I saw pictures of her.
Yeah,
she's
young. Be weird.
There's no way.
Be?
Yeah, she's 9. What do you think a 9-year-old would want in Arizona?
A heart.
I'll tell you where she got it. She got it right
flower.
Here on her shoulder.
Mm.
And then, like, the tattoo spot, you know?
Heart, flower, cross.
An American flag, red, white, and blue, baby.
Oh,
yeah.
Good for her.
What do you think? I mean, look, there are some tattoos that your kid could get that would make you madder than others. If he comes home with the Post Malone face tattoos, that's going to be, like, you're looking into tattoo removal immediately at that point, right?
I don't, like, no.
No?
Because, like, you did it, man. Like, now you got to live with this a little bit. Yeah, I promise you, you're going to come to me in a couple of years and ask me to look into tattoo removal.
That's fair. That's fair.
Right? But now, like, all right, whatever.
But the tattoo artist should not, I'm not saying legally, but I'm saying the tattoo artist shouldn't want to tattoo a 9-year-old, even with the parents' permission, right?
I would. Well, with the parents' permission, that's fine.
But the kid's 9 years old. They can't, you know.
No, the parents like, hey, kid wants this and we're cool with it and we have tattoos. Like, I'm trying to tell you how to raise your kid.
Fair enough.
If you want your kid to have a tattoo, fine. Like, there'd be some parents who'd be like, hey, you shouldn't be piercing ears.
I know. I've thought about that, too. Seeing those kids cry when they get their ears pierced.
But all Mexicans do it.
Jesus.
That's true.
The Church of Laszlo.
How's your guys' New Year's resolutions coming? You guys broke them yet? I think Snow Cone's New Year's resolution was... I don't know, something about an apartment. Laszlo's New Year's resolution was, what was your New Year's resolution?
I have one.
Oh, no New Year's resolutions at all. Over half of Americans make them. It's like 58% or something like that. It's all the same stuff. I was always kind of confused by the New Year's resolution thing. I just didn't partake in it. I always thought, like, if you want to start something, then, you know, If you're not starting it now, then why would you be more likely to start on January 1st? As I get older, it makes a little more sense. It's like, okay, I get it. You're telling yourself, get through the holidays and all that. And at the first of the year, I'll try and get back on track or whatever this thing is that I want to do. We did start saying, we got to the point, especially during the holidays, where like I was buying pies and stuff, and we were eating like crap. And I had to get a checkup, my annual checkup,
yeah,
physical, whatever. And I know that blood sample they took was all cholesterol and just
did
there's nothing good.
Here?
Not yet, but I knew it was bad. And I knew, like, I need to get back on track for eating healthier. So we have been eating healthier for a whole 8 days, right? We've been doing good about that. But that was really the only thing. And I don't know if it's a New Year's resolution or just saying, like, we had been doing a good job with that. And then we kind of started to let it slide. So we decided, I think that counts as a New Year's resolution. The biggest ones that, the most popular one is people say they want to save money. That's the top one. Saving money, which it's right above eating healthier. So those are the two big ones. And
I think it's always the same every year, right? Yeah,
I would have thought exercise would be the biggest, but exercise is third biggest. And then, the other ones are losing weight, which to me is a lot like exercising. Quit smoking. Spend more time with family and friends. Okay. Reduce spending on living expenses. To me, that's the same as saving money. Whatever. But quitting smoking has always been a popular one. And so there are a lot of people right now who have maybe not had a cigarette in about a week. And that also now includes vaping. Because a lot of people quit smoking by vaping. And then if you start vaping, you may be taking in even more nicotine.
Sure.
So how do you quit vaping? So they did a study that they thought, well, we'll release this at the beginning of the year in case people are trying to quit. Here's what works. Here's what doesn't work. When you quit, you just went cold turkey, right?
I did, yeah.
No Nicorette, no nothing.
Mm.
Which at first we thought was
just about kill me.
But then it turns out it just about killed you because you had a... An actual nervous breakdown.
Yeah, I actually did.
Yeah. Lazo stood at this window.
Oh, yeah.
And just stared out. I've never seen him do this, Snucko, with his arms crossed, looking out. And I now know what he was thinking about was his future in a wheelchair that he thought was awaiting him.
Well, the truth of the matter is I quit and started working out more than I ever had. And 3 weeks into quitting, I was running a 5K twice a week in the morning before work.
Mm-hmm.
I've never felt worse in my life. Like, literally, mentally,
I was
like,
watching you deteriorate.
Was horrifying.
You deteriorated.
Like,
right,
maybe I did too much at once. I don't know what it was. Quitting smoking, I should have ran, then quit smoking, whatever.
Right.
But doing it all at once, the end of that was a year when I finally was like, all right, I can't.
You did it for a year?
A year.
Oh, my God.
And it was like, oh, I mean, I felt
horrible.
No, I was running.
He was falling apart.
A 5K, like, Monday and Wednesday morning.
Yeah.
On the treadmill, but running that far every Monday and Wednesday and not smoking.
Wow.
And I felt horrible.
I've heard the stories about you standing there by the window. And I wasn't here, but just thinking about it. Like,
he
that
said
was,
he couldn't pick things up.
Man, everything hurt. I never put two and two together because I was like, why? I feel
horrible. What would that have to do with smoking? Right. I just thought, oh, man, this is like, you hear those stories about the people who quit smoking. As soon as they quit smoking, they find out that
they
got cancer.
Like, I quit smoking
and
now
I'm
sick.
Too late. Right.
In the best shape of my life.
Yeah.
And I'm sick.
Yeah.
That's so, what I thought. I wasn't like,
these things didn't seem related to me. I didn't think smoking and you thinking you had Lou Gehrig's disease. What do those two things have to do with
that? I didn't think anything.
It took a doctor eventually to be like, oh.
Well, I went to more than one doctor.
Several doctors.
Several.
Right?
But to several doctors, I was like, this person's a quack. I don't know what they're talking about.
Eventually, a doctor said, like, oh, you
quit nicotine? I went to a lady here who was also a doctor at KU Med. And she came in and she said, okay, so what do you think's wrong with you? I'm like, I think I have ALS. And she started laughing. And she goes, oh, honey, you do not have that. I can see that from a mile away. You do not have that. And I was like, I can't lift my hands. And then she's like, okay. And I went to another lady and she was like, no, you don't have it. And literally I was finally playing golf with a buddy of mine who's a doctor. And he was like, you should come in. Just come in and talk to me, man.
So the two women...
Yeah.
Then finally a guy.
I like having women doctors. But
yeah,
it was a guy that I knew.
Yeah.
And we went in and, he was.
But
like,
I think he was also, that was the first time that the nicotine thing, you didn't think to say to someone, like, I haven't had a cigarette in this. Oh, really? I thought that it came up eventually.
No,
smoking
so
thing.
What happened was, I may have started smoking and it still stuck around, to be honest with you. But anyway, we went in there and he was like, hey, there's no test we can give you to find out if you have it. I'm like, and he's like, but I don't think you have it. And he's like, and I don't think I have it. But I don't know. So why don't we just put a little faith in each other and see what happens? And I'm like, okay. He's like, so I'm going to put you on Lexapro, and I'm going to give you, like a Xanax type of drill, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. So then we come back, and then, you know, I did it for like a couple months, and I went back in, and he was like, okay. He's like, do you feel better sometimes? I'm like, yeah, you know, when I take the Klonopin, like, I do feel better. And he's like, okay, well, they don't treat ALS with Klonopin, so you might just be depressed, man. And then, you know, year and a half later, I was divorced.
Yep. And that's that.
Feel like $1 million.
That's that. And also, you thought you had ALS long enough that it was like, well, if you had it by now, you should have deteriorated more. Because it's been a couple months.
I would tell people about it, be like, oh, man, I had a friend who had it. Like, that, like, you know.
Just slower.
Yeah.
Well.
Well, something you thought you had, what was it, like Parkinson's?
Leukemia.
No, I thought I had leukemia.
What was the hand thing when you were in Seattle?
The whole thing was leukemia because there was like a musician who was my age who had it, and then something else came up, and then I just felt weak. Yeah, but it was because it was a vitamin D deficiency from too many clouds the whole time. I also thought I had herpes. That's a whole other story. Turns out it was jock itch. I mean, I probably still have herpes, but
I remember that story.
There was a couple things. That was all apparently a lack of vitamin D. But anyway, if you are one of the millions of people who decided you're going to quit smoking or quit vaping, some people quit smoking by vaping. Either way, if you want to get off nicotine and you decide that you're going to use vaping, or you decide you're trying to quit the vaping, eventually they say you should quit vaping. How do you quit? This new study tells you how to do it.
This study included people ages 13 and over and found the most effective methods to help people quit were medication and text-based intervention. The study says the most effective method for giving up vaping was the medication varenicline, with 49 out of 100 people successfully quitting after 6 months. The second method showed the promise of text-based intervention in young people ages 13 to 24, with 29 out of 100 people quitting after 7 months.
I've never heard of this text-based intervention.
That's how I did it.
But, oh, really? I don't remember that.
I did. Like, that's what I that helped me. I used LiveStrong.
Oh, I did not know that.
It was like a text-based LiveStrong thing, and you texted. It was like an automated thing, but you would text it and be like, hey, you know, I'm having a craving, and it would give you, like, a little bit of information.
Huh.
And then if you could get through it, it would tell you. And then even if you were like, hey, I just had a smoke, it'd be like, okay. But then it would, every day when you wake up, if you open up the app, it would tell you, like, hey, you had 10 cravings yesterday and 2 cigarettes. You're doing good. Keep up with it. So it's just like data that you could look at.
Well, they say that works really well for young people. Whatever.
I thought it worked for me, too. I'm back to smoking. So, but, I, like, that idea of it, it just kept everything kind of in front of you. You know, like, you could look at it and be like, as opposed to just being like, hey, I'm going to quit, and then you have 2 cigarettes, and the next day you have 3, and you're like, I'm doing better. This was like, no, you had 3, man. And the day before, you had 10. You are doing better.
I guess that makes sense.
And you had 20 cravings. And, you know, last time you had 20 cravings, you had 15 cigarettes. This time you had 20 cravings, and you had 4 cigarettes.
Okay, so it's something that's been around a while. Yeah. I didn't know that. But then the other thing, of course, they said...
What was the first drug? Is that the first Chantix?
It's Chantix. Yeah. They called it whatever its real name is, but it's Chantix. Mm-hmm. I had to look it up to make sure, but 49 out of 100 people.
Yeah.
So basically half were able to quit for at least 6 months. So I guess if you're thinking, like, how do I do this on my own... And you can try the text thing. Apparently that helps too, especially if you're young. Otherwise, go get Chantix. And, you know, speaking of Chantix, I know it's supposed to make you have weird dreams. Snowcone, you'd be very jealous. I had like 3 hours of lucid dreams this morning. Maybe you should get on Chantix, and then you could have some of those lucid dreams.
But honestly, I was kind of scared of the terrifying
you tried to train yourself for lucid dreams, but I
always told Chantix was like nightmares, not lucid dreams.
Oh, I couldn't remember. I knew it had something to do with dreams.
I never had any dreams.
Never issues with confusing what was real and what wasn't with the dreams.
Dream at all?
No, and I don't remember anything like, oh, this freaked me out. Like, I may have had more dreams, but it wasn't. My thing is, every time I've taken it, I've gotten to like they give you this pack, and like, smoke until you're done with this starter pack. And then you get, like, a prescription that you just keep taking one a day, right?
Okay.
My problem is every time, you know, I get to the end of that starter pack where you can still smoke as much as you want, I'm like, okay, today's the day to quit. And I'm like, today's the day to shove it up your ass.
The Church of Laszlo. On 98.9 The Rock.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org/advisors.